We spoke a little bit earlier about war, about being involved in war, and I want to talk to us about some scriptures this morning about how to war, not only as a church, but also in our individual lives. And we're going to begin in the book of Psalm, and we're going to read Psalm 138. I'm just going to go through that a little bit this morning, just talk a little bit about what it means to take our place as a people of God and how you and I are called to be a people who are not willing to just put up with circumstances in life that we know that are not God. In other words, you and I are dealing with issues in life sometimes, and it kind of comes up against you, and you have declared that you want to live for God, but the situation is not in line with that. The situation might be something coming into your life that you know God doesn't want that for you. It could be a circumstance, it could be relationship, it could be physical, it could be emotionally, it could be financial, it could be any of those things. That if the enemy will throw all kinds of things at us, but you and I need to be a people who know enough to resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. So we resist him, we submit ourselves to God, first of all. If we're not submitting ourselves to God, we're going to have a difficult time resisting the devil. We must first submit ourselves to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That is an MO for a Christian, a method of operation. First of all, we must submit to God. Submit to what he desires and what he wants for our lives, and live our lives the way he has designed us to. And then resist the enemy. What do I mean by resist the devil? Well, when there's some things that we might have done or doing or that are not in line with God's purposes, then we decide that we're not going to do that anymore. Well, the devil will make sure that you have a temptation to go that way again. But we are to resist his temptation. Like, for instance, if we're a person who drinks too much alcohol, and we realize that, you know, God has made it clear we got to get off this stuff. And so we have to make ourselves discerning enough to resist those temptations of getting caught up with alcohol. In other words, we may not be able to go to the places where we used to go. You know, places where it might even be friends. I know when I got saved and I used to do a lot of drinking, I had to stop going around certain people because every time we had ever got together, we would always drink and do other stuff that wasn't good either. We would always get caught up in that, so I had to change my pattern. That is part of resisting the devil, resisting those temptations that God wants to bring upon us. And submitting then to God. So what would submitting to God look like to you? Well, I don't know about you, but when I got saved and I started following God, one of the things that I had to submit to was to start gathering with God's people. Make church a priority, gathering together as a church, a major priority in my life. That was submitting to God, even when I didn't feel like it. Even when I didn't necessarily like it, I had to submit to his purposes, because I found out that if I didn't submit properly, I couldn't resist properly. So the two come together. Now let's look at Psalm 138, verse 6. Even though the Lord is high above, he sees humble people close up. He recognizes arrogant people from a distance. So if we were to submit to God now, if we were going to take a place of submission to God, then we would submit ourselves to walking humbly before God. And so if we're walking humbly before God, although he might see us from far away, our humility attracts him. And he comes closer. He knows, he sees us from afar off. But he recognizes arrogant people from a distance. He doesn't even want to be around arrogant people. He sees that from a distance, and he just decides that I don't want to be close to that arrogance. That he may love the people, but he doesn't love the arrogance. He doesn't love the pride. Verse 7, even though I walk into the middle of trouble, you guard my life against the anger of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your hand saves me. Verse 8, the Lord will do everything for me. O Lord, your mercies endures forever. Do not let go of what your hand have made. I'm reading from God's Word, but I like the New King James translation of this better. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. So the Lord is going to perfect something in us that He's done. He started a work in you and I, and He's going to bring it to completion. He is going to perfect that which concerns us. Now, I want us to look for a moment back in verse 7, where it says, even though I walk into the middle of trouble. Now, this is a prayer, a praise and thanksgiving, but it is also a declaration and decree. And this is how you and I are to war. First and foremost, is that we decree things over our lives. We make declaration of things over our lives. Now, Robert, I believe it was last year, someone told you about, asked you about how many boxes of oysters you were going to, can you just share that for a minute? I'm just catching them off guard here, so just share a little bit about that particular area. For those of you who don't know, Robert's an oyster fisherman.
Last year we went to Malagash to the men's retreat, and usually every year I take a fairly good sized cooler of oysters to share with the boys over there. And I always consider it a seed, so I don't ask for anything. I just go over and open them for them, and they're all gone by the time I leave. So I had this older gentleman, he didn't like oysters, and his son didn't like oysters, but he told me that, he said, every year when you come, You bring oysters, and he said, that's seed. So he said, my son and I are going to be praying for you. And we're just wondering, this year, how many boxes of oysters do you think you'd
like to get? Can I just stop you there for a minute? Now, think about this. Here's a guy that he met in Malagash. You didn't know them before he started going to the men's retreat.
No.
But here's this Christian. And suddenly he stops him and said, I'm going to be praying for you. Now, I don't know if you realize how valuable that is, how valuable your Christian connections are. To have someone out of the blue, don't hardly see him that much, but he stops and says, I'll be praying for you. I want you to know, people, those prayers are powerful. When we stop, when we take notice of one another, this is why the body of Christ, it is so important to be connected. Because if you will submit to God by being properly connected to the body of Christ on an ongoing basis, then God will put it on other people's heart to pray for you at any given time. But if you don't submit to God, you're on your own. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to be on my own. I need people praying for me. Amen. I really do. I need people praying for me. And I love it when we come together like this, because I know there's a greater power in that corporate anointing when we pray. Go ahead, Robert.
So he asked me, he said, so what would be like a something where you'd know God would step in? I just want to know how many boxes you want this year. And I thought, well, I've been having some pretty good years, but I said, I'll throw out 1,000 boxes. I said, how about 1,000 boxes? Good. He said, that's what we'll pray for. We'll pray that God would give you 1,000 boxes this year. And last year, from working on the public fishing and working for other people who allowed me to go on their leases and fish on the shares and stuff, it was well over the 1,000 boxes that I had fished.
Mm-hmm. So. But when, getting back to the story, I remember correctly that you had said something, you had said a lower amount, didn't you?
Well, I told him.
And he encouraged
you. Yeah, yeah. He said, no, something that you know, you need to know that it's because we're praying for, or that God has stepped in.
Right.
And I just threw out, I said, well, how about 1,000 boxes then?
Right.
You know?
I think
if
I remember correctly, you told me 500 or something. You figured I can do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then he challenged you
and
said, okay.
That's right.
You know, you need God.
Yeah.
And so, now after that prayer, what was coming out of your mouth?
Faith, just... God said, or he said that he was going to be praying for me. I knew that the seed was sown into good ground, being at Malagash, and that I would think about these two gentlemen and saying, okay, Lord, whenever I would be with Sean or whoever fishing, I'd be praying stuff like, I thank you, Lord, for supernatural multiplications for oysters under my boat, in my boat, in my tongs, and wherever I go, there's going to be fish.
Amen.
Fish are looking for me.
Amen. You know? Yeah. Now, that is part of the way that you and I war for things. We begin to take the word of faith and begin to declare what we've heard. And we push in with the knowledge of there's other people praying for me and agreeing with me that 1,000 boxes are going to come. So we begin to lay claim to them. It's not just a hoping and a wishing. Thanks. It's not just a hoping and a wishing that something's going to happen. We actually take our position and get in line with what other people are believing for. You see, prayer is about decreeing and declaring things out. Notice in verse 7, and even though I walk into the middle of trouble, you guard my life. And so that's not, God, please get me out of this mess. Please, I know there's trouble coming. That's not the kind of prayer that the psalmist is praying here. He's declaring that even though I walk in the middle of trouble, you are the one that guards me. You are the one that protects me. You are the one who keeps me from the anger of my enemies. You stretch out your hand and your right hand saves me. In other words, it's a declaration. It's a decree. And this is how we war in this natural realm. We make declarations and decree. So find out when you're in prayer, look at your life in general and look at the things that you want. And look at the things that, you know, if you're asking other people to pray for you, first decide how you are to pray about it. Because there's no sense in getting somebody to pray. Like if these guys that told Robert they were going to pray for him and pray that he would have these 1,000 boxes and they decree those things, if Robert went home with, well, it'd be sure nice to have more, but you know, oysters are scarce. You know, I was just talking to another fisherman the other day, and he said it was the worst day starting this year. So I don't know what it's going to be like, but you know, I'm just going to, Lord, I just hope you help me. Now, I don't think he would have got anywhere at all, because he would have been nullifying what these other people were trying to do. But he got in line with what they were believing and began to declare and decree those things over the project that he was involved in. That was fishing oysters. And so this is how you and I take the word of God. It's important to take the word of God and begin to pray that over our situation. And when you do, you're warring against the enemy. You are taking your position. And that's why when you and I pray even for revival on the island, it's got to be more of thanking God for his presence on the island than asking him to come all the time. Because he's already here. Jesus is already here. You know, he's here with us now. His presence is here with us now. And we want to thank him for that on an ongoing basis. He's in our homes. He's in our lives. He's in our marriages. And you and I have to get in line with what he desires. Look, prayer is really agreeing with the will of God. Now notice, we can do that effectively if we take verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. So the Lord is going to perfect. In other words, the Lord has started a good work in you and I, and he's going to perfect it. He's going to bring it to completion. God knows the end from the beginning. So it's going to come out good for us. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But concerning declaring and decreeing things, I want us also to look at Job 22. Job 22 speaks to us, is a good example of how we are to make our requests to God. In verse 26, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. You will also decree a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways when they cast you down, when others come against you. And you say exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person. He will deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. Now notice, you will declare a thing, you will decree a thing, and it will be established for you. You will decree a thing, and it will be established. So what are you decreeing about your life? How does your future look? Do you go to the Word of God and take the Word of God and see that you have a bright future? That the Lord says, I have a hope and a future for you. I have plans for you that will bring you great joy and peace. I have deliverance for you. I have everything that you need so that you might live a life of hope and peace before Him. Amen. You know, is that what you see? Well, declare that. Decree that over your life, over your family, over your job, over your finances, over your body. I thank you, God, that you are the God who heals me. I thank you that you forgive all my sins and heal all my diseases. I thank you, God, that you sent your word and healed me, just the same way as you did to those people in Egypt when they were about to be taken out. Remember, you have been taken out of the world when you got born again. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God was taking you out of the kingdom of darkness and planting you into the kingdom of His Son. And the children of Israel were an example of that when they were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And God took them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of the world. Egypt always represents the world. He was taking them out of that. And the Bible says two things about that deliverance. One, there was not one of them that faltered when He took them out of there. Over 2 million people He took out of Egypt, and nobody had to be carried. God's healing power. Can you imagine to have a nation of people, 2 million people, nobody sick? They all came out of Egypt that way. They walked in the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes didn't even wear out. And also, when they came out of there, they also came out with riches and gold. They took all their wealth of the Egypt with them. You can read it in the book of Exodus. It's clear as anything. And so when you came out of the kingdom of the world and into the kingdom of God, God has no less a deliverance for you and for me. So I just declare the wealth of the unjust is stored up for the just in the name of Jesus. And it's eventually coming into my hands. And over in 1 Peter, it also talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, that by His stripes, you and I have been healed, is really the literal translation of it. The price of our healing on our bodies has been paid for. Now, we have to decree that, declare that. Don't take it for granted. You will declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on you. Now, Romans 8:28 helps us to walk in the fullness of that if we get that into our spirits and we live in such a fashion that we know that God works all things together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purposes. God works all things together for good. Doesn't matter what you're going through. And I'm convinced that's something that Mike is going to be sharing next week. Some of the things that he's went through, some of the things that the enemy tried to use to destroy his life, now he's going to use that for good to be able to share about the great deliverance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. God works all things together for good. You and I must believe that if we're going to grab a hold of the promises of God.